welcome to another episode of Here's What I Think, musings of two Anabaptist educators, pastors, most importantly, Christ followers. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller. And it's good to be back together again. Matt, I'm excited about this topic. You want to tell us what we're talking about?
Well, we're talking about mentoring today. And Jeremy and I both sort of have read an article from Christianity Today that has, they have various resources from time to time. There's an article on mentoring that they had that we were doing some reading and thought, hey, let's talk about this topic. Christianity Today, by the way, if you're interested in doing some reading, the April issue this year features David Swartz. He's an alum of Rosedale College. So check it out if you're interested. Christianity Today, that's where we got this article that is going to kind of guide at least some of our conversation today. Jeremy, why don't you talk just a little bit here at the outset concerning mentors or mentoring that has really been influential in your life? Have you had mentors that have really influenced you?
Yeah, you know, I have. And I think back to the times when I had mentors and the critical roles that they actually have played in my life. And it's funny because it's looked different in a lot of different ways. I remember one of the key situations that I was mentored in happened a bit by happenstance, which ironically is how it often has happened to me. I didn't go in necessarily realizing that I would be mentored in the ways that I was and ended up being. But I remember specifically, actually, after I'd spent a year at Rosedale Bible College, I was invited to intern at a church in Oklahoma. I went out there because I kind of knew the pastor from a church camp that I'd been at, and I thought this would be a fun situation to kind of be in and learn how to pastor. And what I didn't realize is how much influence he would end up having in my life over the next two summers. I didn't do it just one summer. I went back the next summer, and Joe was just really instrumental in helping me understand what ministry looked like. And it was really formative.
It's interesting you should say that, because I think when I look at different mentors that I've had too, the ones that have been the most formative in my life, I think are ones that probably, if you would ask them if they had ever been my mentor, they would say, well, no. But they're people that I really respected the way they were doing ministry and the way that they were going about things.
Right.
And I kind of sidled up next to them,
right,
and watched them and just learned a lot from observing how they did things. And their ministry affected my ministry. But if you'd ask them if they had ever been my mentor, they would say probably no.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny because that's how it's been so frequently. I think about when I was pastoring, our overseer, Brian Hershberger, filled that role. And I, you know, he was an overseer of our church, which meant that I called him periodically and he kind of oversaw what was going on. But when I needed something, I called him. And it turned into kind of a, how do you handle this or how do you handle that? And that was really good.
I think back to a time in my 20s, when my wife and I, we moved to the Middle East, and we were working with RI in the Middle East, and there was a long-term worker there who had served with RI for decades. And he was just someone who went about his ministry, his evangelism, all that stuff, just in a very humble way, and just had a wonderful way of just walking with and discipling and mentoring, but in such a such a humble way,
yeah.
I think is the way that it is. And for me, that was, I learned so much from him and kind of the way that he did life and did ministry. But I think of him when a little bit ago when I said, you know, if you'd ask if he was my mentor, he'd probably say, well, no, we were just kind of doing ministry together.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah, that I remember as a pastor too. There's another pastor in the community who knew that I was new, and I remember the very first funeral that happened when I was a pastor. He calls me up, and I was like into this maybe 2 weeks. And he calls me up. He's like, "Jeremy, you need anything?" I said, yes, I do. And I said, how do you do a funeral? What do you do? He's like, "Well, let me send you something." And then he sends me this sheet that he has, and he walks me through it. And I'm sure he never thought of himself as a mentor to me, but I really leaned on him for a lot of things in those early years, and he was so helpful.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways in this article, Christianity Today, one of the ways that mentoring is talked about is, it says it's defined as a mentor is a brain to pick, an ear to listen, and a push in the right direction. And that definition really resonated with me. So often when I sit down with someone, I want to pick their brain. I want to know how they think about something. I want to know what their, how they approach a certain topic. But I also want them to be able to listen to what I'm struggling with and what I'm going through, and then be willing to kind of speak into my life too. Because mentoring isn't just about listening, right? It's also about, you want someone who's going to speak into your life.
You know, it's important to my mind that mentors have a kind of humility about their role in our lives, but that they're not afraid to push us. Because when you really believe in somebody, you're willing to gently say the tough things because you see the potential in the other person. And I want people to believe in me enough to push me a little bit, but with a kind of humility that recognizes that they're the ones trying to help me, or if I'm the mentor, that I'm actually trying to help the other person succeed. I'm not trying to do their life for them.
Yeah, and that's something that we should probably say is there is, I think, mentoring can, if mentoring is being done in a sort of controlling or manipulative way, that's dangerous, and that's not a healthy relationship. That's not a healthy sort of way of doing mentoring. But if mentoring is happening with a lot of humility, I don't think there's any reason why a mentor can't be very directive and say, "Hey, you know what? Here's what I'm seeing, and here's what I think you should do," as long as it's done with a spirit of humility.
Yeah, and actually, for a mentoring relationship to work, both ends have to be humble. I know of some young people in my past who want a mentor but don't have a teachable spirit. Mm. And if you don't have a teachable spirit or a kind of humility that's longing to learn, then the whole concept of mentoring kind of breaks down. There has to be a teachable spirit on the part of the mentee, and there has to be a gentle teaching spirit on the part of the mentor. I mean, humility is the only thing that makes that whole thing work.
Yeah, I think about someone who has been, well, just this last year, I lost my father this last December. He passed away. He had pancreatic cancer. And he's someone who, over the years, sometimes in more structured ways and sometimes I don't know if it was ever in structured ways. He was my dad, but he mentored me in ways that I don't know that he would have called himself a mentor, but he was that sort of ear to listen and the person to nudge in the right direction. And I've, since December, that's something that I've really missed from time to time, is knowing, and it wasn't even that often maybe, but knowing that, well, who do I call now when I want to bounce something off of? And so I may have to be doing some searching for some new mentorship in my life right now.
Yeah. Matt, one of the things that, kind of going back to the beginning almost, one of the reasons we're talking about this whole concept is because it is critical for us to have those people in our lives. There's an old saying, every successful person, every person who succeeds somehow in an area of their lives, they have to have determination, mm-hmm. you know, some kind of grit to push through the inevitable tough spots. They have to have a goal, a dream, something they're going for. but they also have to have somebody that really believes in them. And they have to feel that. We're wired like that as people. And one of the interesting things is I remember a long time ago, I was talking to an older pastor about mentoring and the desire to be mentored. I think I was really young, and he kind of questioned this whole thing of like, I mean, isn't that what families and family systems used to do or are supposed to do? I think it's right that it used to be that when you grew up in kind of an agricultural setting, you worked with your parents, your uncles, your aunts, your grandparents. There were so many older people that had investment in you. And the need for sort of broader mentoring just sort of happened automatically. You didn't have to think about it.
Well, your world was much smaller.
That's right.
So you didn't have any expectation other than growing up and still working on the farm.
Right.
And providing for your family via the farm that you grew up on.
Right.
Where now, so my kids, I don't plan on them growing up and doing exactly what I'm doing. In fact, it's impossible.
Yeah.
My five kids, they're not all going to grow up to be deans of students of Rosedale Bible College. They're going to have to spread their wings, and they're going to find, and for them, they're going to need to find mentors and people to look up to and people to pour into them in areas that I am totally unfamiliar with.
That's right.
And so I'm, you know, in a way, I'm kind of pushing them out.
Yeah.
To find people like that.
Yeah.
In ways that probably in the past we didn't.
Absolutely. And so I think that, yeah, like you're illustrating, the need for mentors, the need for other people to speak into our lives is tremendous. Matt, would it be helpful to think a little bit about how somebody goes about finding a mentor? How does happen?
I think that that's a really important thing to actually talk about, because I think for many, at different times in my life, I thought, man, and even now, I'm thinking about this too in terms of, boy, I'd love to have sort of a mentor, but how do I go about finding someone? And I think it's there's a lot of us who want mentors and fewer of us that really know how to be a mentor. Mm. And actually, a good mentor is hard to find, mm-hmm. I think. So if you're listening to this and thinking, boy, that sounds great, I'd love to have a mentor in my life, let's talk a little bit about how you go about finding one. And the first thing I think I would say, and then you can add to this, Jeremy, is probably if you just ambush someone and say, hey, I want you to be my mentor. That sounds like kind of a scary proposition.
You know, needy person?
Exactly. Is this person asking me to live their life for them? And
that's right.
You know, and what are the expectations? The first thing they're going to wonder is, okay, what are the expectations?
Yes.
Am I going to have to meet like every week for hours with this guy to like tell him what he's supposed to do in his life? So I think the way you approach someone is really, really important. You got any clues on how to approach someone, Jeremy?
Well, number one, I would say put yourself around somebody that's much older than you, or at least
a
little
point.
Older than you, has more experience than you, because that's what you're trying to learn. You're trying to gain from somebody else's experience, right? So
I think a good rule of thumb is probably 2 decades.
Like, what makes you say that?
Well, if someone is too close to where you are in life, they can be a very good sort of companion in terms of walking together. But I think that's a little bit different than what we're talking about in terms of mentoring.
Okay.
So I don't know. That's just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I didn't read it in any article or something. But I think going older is good, so that there's some distance in terms of the road that they've walked and the road that you're walking. I think it'd be very helpful.
I think along with the age piece, like, know what you're wanting to learn. So if you see somebody that's done a particularly good job maybe raising their family, or somebody that's done a particularly good job in the field that you're wanting to learn, maybe that's some ministry area, or maybe there's some skill that they just do really well, asking them about that, hey, can we have coffee? I'd love to talk with you about whatever that thing is. And I wouldn't necessarily... in the first meeting, ask about a mentoring relationship, because that seems to pressurize the situation a lot. But if a younger person came to me and said, Jeremy, I'd love to learn about this, you know, particular piece of life or this particular skill set. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to talk with you about it. Would you be open to doing that?
Yeah.
And then if you get the feeling that they're really interested in engaging and interested in helping you along, well, that's a perfect opportunity, and it becomes a mentoring situation that you don't even necessarily need to call that up front.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I think there's plenty of space for sort of official mentoring. Hey, would you be my mentor? I don't think there's anything wrong with kind of a planned relationship like that. But I think narrowing the focus, at least initially, and just saying, who could teach me about this? You know, who could I learn from? It could be a powerful first step.
Yeah, and as I think about the different sort of both relationships that I've had where I've mentored people and relationships where I have been mentored, the ones that I think have been the most powerful for me have been the ones that have developed more naturally.
That's right.
Just because, something like sometimes personality-wise, we don't necessarily jive with someone. Some people are easier to get along with, easier to talk to. And some of those relationships that I've had, I think about, well, I'm thinking of two in particular of young people who, when I was a youth pastor in Florida, one in particular that he never came to me and said, hey, can you be my mentor? But we spent a lot of time together, and I mentored him in some pretty significant ways. And another one who said, I want you to be my mentor, but really didn't listen to much of what I had to say, and really there wasn't much. You know, we'd have our formal meetings every once in a while, but I doubt that he looks back on that time as very formative, and I don't really think it was very formative either, but it was very structured. And so I think kind of not trying to force something,
right,
but letting something develop naturally is really the way to go.
Yeah. Now, that makes a lot of sense to me, and it kind of takes the pressure out of the whole relationship. And I think people who have done something with their lives that you're trying to emulate or you want to learn from, they want to share that with people who are interested in learning, but they don't want to waste their time either.
I think that's key, because if someone comes to me and says, Matt, I am just starting my family and I would love to just pick your brain a little bit about how to go about raising my kids. You know, that's something that I am extremely humble about. Like, I don't see myself as this wonderful father. And like, I know how to raise kids and I'm going to impart all my wisdom on child rearing on this person. If they came to me and said, Matt, I want you to mentor me on how to be a good parent, I'd probably say absolutely not, because I don't know that I'm a good parent. You need to find someone who's actually a good parent. But if they said, hey, you know what, I'd love to pick your brain on, you know, what's worked, what hasn't worked, how do I go about, I'm just at the beginning of raising my kids, like how to go about this, I'd love to sit down and talk with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's mentoring, but at the same time, I wouldn't necessarily see myself as a mentor there.
That's right. It's way less pressure, I think, for everybody. And I get the desire to be mentored, for sure. But I think I would just encourage you, if that's your desire, to think about it a little bit differently.
Jeremy, let me just put in a plug for the local church. Like, I think if you think about, okay, well, where how can I be in a setting or in a situation where things like that can happen naturally?
Yeah.
I think the best place is the local church. I mean, where else Absolutely. Are you going to find a hodgepodge of people where you could see someone and be like, hey, I want to talk to that person about how they live their life? You know what? The church is where you're going to find that.
Yeah, and obviously, for almost every piece of our life, we're trying to figure out how faith connects and what Jesus is saying to every single aspect of our life. And so the hope is that in the local church, there are all kinds of people who've been working at that in all kinds of ways. How do I run my business with Jesus at the center? Mm-hmm. How do I lead my family with Jesus at the center? How do I think about church ministry with Jesus at the center? And so, absolutely, local church is key.
That's where you're going to be. That's the setting where you're going to find these relationships that will develop naturally into mentoring relationships.
That's right. So, that's right.
I don't know. I think we've probably, there's so much more we could talk about with this, but I think maybe we could just leave it there for today. The article is called, the article that we were looking at, How to Be an Effective Mentor. It was in Christianity Today. Check it out. Check out the April issue of Christianity Today. Like I mentioned at the start of the podcast, it's an article about, on the cover of April's issue, an article about the founding of World Vision, and it's written by David Swartz. Check it out, and we'll be back next time with another episode of Here's What I Think. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller. Take care.